Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You can now support Ghost Maps on Patreon. Simply look for We Are Huntu or click the link in the description. Ghost Maps. Entry 84. Causeway Bay, Hong Kong.
"This one, my boy," Augustine says, loudly stirring his drink, his third for the night. "This one takes place in Hong Kong." In case you're wondering, yes, I normally only collect stories from around Southeast Asia. I had informed my interviewee, a 75-year-old gentleman named Augustine, of this before we met up this evening. But he's on a roll, and honestly, I just don't have the heart to stop him. Plus, I've enjoyed the last two stories he's told me tonight at this coffee shop in Clementi, both from his decades of experience in the hotel industry. So, I make an exception and let him carry on. "Have you ever been to Hong Kong?" he asks. I tell him that I've passed through once, but he doesn't seem to notice, already engrossed in his own story. I smile and switch my recorder back on. Before he gets too far ahead of himself, I ask him one last time to start from the beginning. It was 2010. Augustine had been working at a 5-star hotel in Causeway Bay for close to a year by then. Now that he was holding a much more senior position, he wasn't actually required to interact with guests all that much. "Still, I tried to steal some time in the lobby after I was done with my paperwork," he tells me, with a cheeky smile. "This job, after all, is about hospitality." As always, he made it a point to chat with a variety of guests, from professionals to families. One of these guests was Megan. Megan was a 30-something Filipino woman who had started up an online business 4 years ago. She was in town to speak with investors about a possible expansion.
"Don't ask me what her company did though," Augustine says, with a chuckle. "All this internet nonsense. I can't make heads or tails of it."
Since she was going to be in Causeway Bay for a while, her husband Leslie and their 6-year-old daughter Michelle decided to join her. The family had been staying in one of the hotel's suites for a week at this point, without incident. During the days, Megan and Leslie would both head out for work. Megan for her meetings, while the company that Leslie worked for had temporarily set him up in the Hong Kong branch. Michelle, meanwhile, would be watched over by a nanny provided by the hotel, a pleasant middle-aged woman named Muete. Megan and her family chatted with Augustine almost every evening. They would cheerily tell him about how helpful the staff were, and particularly how well Michelle got along with the nanny. All in all, they seemed very happy with their stay so far. Or at least they were. Until one particular night. Megan had just closed a huge deal. To celebrate, Leslie and her figured that instead of working, they'd take the following day off and spend it with Michelle. That day, the family went from mall to mall, treating themselves to clothes, gadgets, toys, and anything else they fancied. In between their shopping spree, they made sure to indulge in delicious street food too. After all, the area in which the hotel was located was known for its many vendors that served up all sorts of delicacies. Some of the most popular vendors, however, were located a bit off the beaten track. Megan and her family found themselves navigating more than a few mazes of back alleys during the day out.
They never encountered anything that seemed like trouble, Augustine tells me. At least, not what they were aware of, anyway.
He has a theory, though, that at some point, one of them might have unintentionally knocked over an altar or offerings. In such a bustling city, it was possible that they did so without even noticing. Whatever the reason, Augustine knows that something followed them back that night. After showering and settling down that evening, Leslie and Megan were ready to tuck Michelle into bed in her own room, then get some rest themselves. Michelle, however, didn't want to sleep alone that night, which Megan found pretty odd. Their daughter had always been fiercely independent. When they first arrived in Hong Kong, Michelle was ecstatic that she had her own room here too. But on this evening, their child practically begged her parents to let her sleep in the same room as them. Megan gave in, but went to bed that night feeling somewhat uneasy. She tossed and turned a little before finally drifting off. At about 2 a.m., however, she was woken up by a familiar sound. From the far corner of their room, she heard someone typing away at either her or Leslie's laptop. She assumed at first that it was Leslie or even Michelle, but as her eyes adjusted to the room's darkness, she realized two things. One was that there was no glow emanating from the laptop's screen. Even from across the room, there should at least have been some faint illumination. The other thing she realized, though, was that both Leslie and Michelle were still in bed with her. She held her breath and nudged her husband, gently at first, so as to not wake Michelle. When Leslie simply mumbled something in his sleep and rolled over, she tried again, more forcefully this time. Finally, he woke up and asked what was wrong, but fell silent. After he saw the look in Megan's eyes, and heard the sound of typing as well. Leslie steeled himself to get out of bed and find out what was really going on. When, as suddenly as it had started, the noise just stopped. Megan and Leslie looked at each other, trying to decide if they were both imagining things. A few minutes passed, and the couple eventually relaxed a little. Leslie started to think that it was probably the unfamiliar sounds of the city that they heard. Megan began to chalk it up to their minds playing tricks on them, especially after the incredibly busy week that they had had. But then Michelle woke up and slowly, silently at first, pointed to the room that she normally slept in. Her parents were about to ask her what she was pointing to, when in a sleepy tone, one laced with dread, Michelle whispered, "That's not Muite." Megan and Leslie sat still for a moment, unsure what their daughter had meant, until the deafening quiet of the room was broken by a voice, familiar yet somehow also hauntingly unsettling, nurturing yet sinister. Muite's voice distorted just slightly as she called out to Michelle, oddly in Cantonese,
"Lei kuoloi,
come here." Megan didn't think twice this time, didn't waste a second questioning her own mental state. All she knew was that she needed to protect her family. She lifted Michelle into her arms, grabbed Leslie by the hand, and ran out of the room.
"I found out about this the day after," Augustine tells me.
Muite was called in, and her own husband confirmed that she had been at home all of the night before. Megan's family had been given another suite, but Leslie and her didn't feel comfortable staying in the hotel or even the city anymore. They wanted to fly back to the Philippines right away. Augustine, however, convinced them to stay for a little while longer.
"I told them I understood," he says, solemnly. "I knew what they were going through, and as a father, I knew that they desperately needed to keep their child safe. But at that very moment, they needed to listen to me." He pauses for a moment, letting out a sigh of relief, then adds, "Thankfully, they did." Augustine immediately brought Megan and her family to a specialist in this sort of thing, a priest that he had met shortly after moving to Hong Kong. The family were prayed over, then brought back to the hotel where the priest prayed over their suite as well, before they were allowed back in to pack their bags. "I could see the looks on their faces as they entered the room again," Augustine tells me. "They knew that something was different now. that they were safe. After that, Augustine drove them to the airport himself, where Megan offered to give him an exceedingly large tip. Augustine quietly tells me, with a warm smile across his face, that he declined to accept. So, young men, what do you think? Augustine asks, as he finishes up his drink. I tell him that all three of his stories have been very interesting. He laughs loudly, patting me on the back once more.
Always glad to share, he tells me. Always glad to have someone who listens.
I smile, not because of the elderly man's boisterous demeanor. Well, not just because of his demeanor, anyway. But also because it feels good to give him an outlet, a chance to tell the stories that he's clearly been wanting to tell for some time now.
If you want to discover more of Southeast Asia's other side, subscribe now and follow us on social media. You can also be one of our supporters on Patreon. Look for We Are Hantu or click the links in the description. Ghost Maps is a Hantu production, created by Kyle Ong and Wayne Ray, with art direction by Jolene Lim, and recorded on Audio Technica mics.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.